From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. This stretch of beautiful weather sure reinforces the idea that Maine is simply the best place to be in the summer. But what to do? The choices are abundant. Festivals, nature hikes, food tours, weekend getaways. We will hear plenty of ideas for ways to have fun in and around Maine this season, and we are looking for your ideas too. In the studio with me, Steve Lyons, who's director of the Maine Office of Tourism, Brian Kevin, managing editor of Down East Magazine, and Derek Hanrahan. He's a travel agent and former member service counselor for AAA of Northern New England. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for some lesser known places to explore? Or do you have a favorite place or activity to suggest? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Boy, today's one of the days we don't want to be in a studio. We want to be outdoors. Brian, Kevin, I understand for the second time, Down East Magazine is sending people on a scavenger hunt. Where are you sending people?
Oh, every corner of the state and every county of the state. There's 40 different tasks that people have to fulfill, and they kind of fall down into different categories. There's outdoorsy tasks, climbing mountains. You go all the way up to DeBully Preserve in Arista County. There's
pronounce that again?
DeBully. Pretend it's spelled D-E-B-U-L-L-Y. It isn't, but that's how we say it here in Maine. It's a wonderful spot. Do you know it?
No.
Oh, have you been up there?
Oh, I've been there several times.
Oh, yes. Man, it's one of my favorite places to camp, hike. It's just like a small set of rolling mountains at the very northern tip of the state. It's a piece of state land, public reserve land, and a fantastic chain of lakes that are really popular with anglers. It's just kind of one of the examples of like a far-flung location, because the whole shtick of this scavenger hunt is just trying to get people out of their comfort zones and explore corners and pockets of the state they might not otherwise.
I love that. I'm always encouraging people. I'm encouraging folks here in southern Maine to head up to Arista County and vice versa. You wouldn't believe how many people in Maine have never been to the historic village in York.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They consider York like part of Massachusetts, you know, and that's just so silly because it's really so spectacular. Okay, it's your turn. Steve, we know how many millions of people go to Acadia National Park, well-deserved destination. Give us some secret spots, though, where they're not as well-traveled, but boy, you can't miss them.
Well, I don't know about secret spots, but what I could say about it is, having vacationed up there a couple summers ago myself, if you get out first thing in the morning on your bicycle on the carriage trails, that's a great time to be out on the trails. Because what will happen is most of people seem to sleep in, and so if you get out at 7, 7:30 in the morning, you can have the trails to yourself. And I did a lot of riding. I mean, they have 50 miles of trails out there. I did a lot of riding in a lot of corners of the park and found myself probably one of the few people there. The other thing about Acadia is a lot of people go to the summit, of course, of Cadillac Mountain during the sunrise. And so it's always busy up there at that time. But if you go at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, you can actually get up there and it's not that crowded. So you can get to some of the busy spots without being there with larger crowds.
Yeah, I think the early morning thing is really a trick for so many places in Maine, because so many tourists, if you will, sleep in their hotel room, have a leisurely breakfast, and get someplace midday. So if you sort of turn it around and just get out, you get spots to yourself. I've noticed that. Derek, tell us how to treat Maine like a tourist would. You're booking a lot of trips for people in Maine to go somewhere else, but what about how do we think about this place that we live differently?
Well, there's just so much here in the state. You know, a lot of it's the outdoors, the water. People come up here for specific reasons, mainly the coastland. So when you come up here, a lot of times we have maps, we have tour guides available, and we have directions, you know, known as triptychs. So we can get you anywhere you need to be when you need to be there. And on top of the triptychs, when we map out the trip for you, we can also kind of research a good location for the hotels that you might stay in. Or if you even come in on a plane, we have car rentals that are available that we get, you know, great discounts for through AAA, which allows us to kind of navigate the state, you know, kind of without any issues.
Okay, so I'm going to throw something out there. This morning, our coworker, Sammy Regal, came over. She'd led a field trip, I believe it was third graders, And she said, we went to the desert of Maine. She said, I've never been to the desert of Maine. She had a great time at the desert of Maine. And I had to confess that I've never been there either. So it's on my list. So I want you all to tell me, I want you each to fess up, where is the place in Maine that you either haven't been yet or it took you a really long time to finally get there and you have to tell other people in Maine to follow your example and finally get there? And the example Sammy brought up was the desert of Maine.
That's a really good one. I haven't been to North Haven. It's just, I look at it out my window. It's right there. I live on the Midcoast, and I've never gotten my butt onto the ferry to go over. And so my wife and I just made a pact this week that we are getting the bikes and the trailer for the kids, and we're going to put in some North Haven time. I think now that they have a brewery, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I could check it out.
Yeah, North Haven's a great little island. I mean, we did actually a photo shoot out there for the Office of Tourism last year, and it's just a beautiful location. When you go, you want to come back and just stay because it's such a great place. I guess my place, if you're thinking about places I've never been and I always wanted to go to, would be Gulf Haggis. Gulf Haggis up in central Maine is sort of, it's one of those places that they call it the Grand Canyon of Maine is what you hear most of the time. But it's got some great hiking around there. I mean, AMC, the Appalachian Mountain Club, owns three renovated sporting camps up in the general vicinity up there. And they are on about 47,000 acres of land, and they have their own 180-mile trail network. And so it's an area that you could just spend a great deal of time just hiking around, paddling around. But Gulf Haggis is one of those on my list.
And it had been on my list, and I finally went a few years ago and took the kids. It's one of those places you can't say enough about. It is just as beautiful as everybody says.
It is a stop on the Great Maine Scavenger Hunt.
Oh, is it? Is it? Okay. Yeah. So what about you, Derek? Where's the place you either haven't been and you're going to go, or it's taken you a long time and finally you went?
Well, you know, I'm going to get away from the coastline here. I'm going to go somewhere a little bit different. It's called the Forks, up in way northern Maine there on the western side there. And it's a step away from everything else that you think of. You know, you come in for the coastline, you come in for the lighthouses, you come on for all that stuff. But it's one of the best places to go, and whitewater rafting. If you want to be active, you want to get into the water sports, things like that. Several campgrounds in the area, great accommodations, but it's off the beaten path. It allows you to, like I said, whitewater rafting is the biggest thing up there. You can canoe, paddle, tube down it. There's a whole bunch of different options for it, but it really gets you away from, you know, the city life, quote unquote, and gets you out to enjoy nature.
And there are a lot of different outfitters, and they're all terrific. So those are all great tips. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so how about festivals and events? Anything you guys are excited about, looking forward to?
Well, the one event that I always find fascinating, I haven't been yet, another one of those things that's on the bucket list, I guess, is a festival down in the Mid-Coast region, and where you actually go out and you get your you buy a plate, you know, from a pottery studio, and then you actually have a salad. It's called Salad Days, Watershed Council for the Arts. And they do that every year. And it's one of those things where you actually pay your fee to get in. You get your salad. You get your custom-made plate, you know, and it's a potluck salad salad luncheon. And you get your plate as a souvenir at the end of the day. And it's something I've always wanted to go to do.
Oh, and I bet the salads are, like, locally grown produce and just spectacular, too. Okay, your turn, Brian.
I've been to Salad Days, and it is every bit that much fun. The music's great. The community vibe is great. I look forward to the Bangor, the American Folk Festival in Bangor every year, just because the swath of types of music that you can see for free donation in one spot is pretty amazing. I must put in a good word for the Down East Lobster Roll World Championship that takes place at Thompson's Point on July 7th this year. We tried it last year, and it was destroyed by a thunderstorm halfway through, and so we're taking another stab at it in another different format. And this year will be indoors, among other things, and you actually get to taste you get to walk around and sort of do like a tasting tour of 10 different lobster roll chefs, and I like to eat. So
indoors is the key this year.
Indoors can't hurt. Yeah, that'll make a big difference, I'm sure.
Okay, Derek.
Yeah, so there's a couple, and I'm actually going to refer to our tour guide that we give to a lot of tourists that come into the state. It's one of the best things that we really hand out. It really helps outline the state, what's coming up, places to stay, good places to eat, things like that. But it also gives you main annual events within it. And a couple of those are being some of the festivals, starting with the Yarmouth Clam Festival. Absolutely amazing event in July. Of course, the 4th of July festivals all over the state, and plenty to choose from. And then, of course, the Maine Lobster Festival in Rockland. And it kind of just, this tour guide outlines some of the greatest festivals that we have here in the state. And I just listed off a few, but I do love the Yarmouth Clam Festival.
So we've talked about the Clam Festival, the Lobster Festival, the Salad Days, the Lobster Rolls. Seems like there might be a little theme going on. So I'll throw this back to you, Steve. How important is food to Maine's current tourism economy?
Food's very important to the current economy. I mean, it's something that people now, they travel just for the food. And so the trend out there is to find those freshest foods you can find, whether it's a farm to table or, you know, fish, you know, or water to table, whatever that's called now. They call it something else. but it's very important. And, you know, there are a lot of great tours in the state of Maine that offer food tours. I mean, Maine Foodie Tours is one example here in Portland. They also have tours in Bar Harbor, Kennebunkport, Rockland, Camden, and one other location, I believe, that's escaping me.
Wow.
And then the Maine Brew Bus, of course, is another one here in Portland that you know, is related to food. What we're seeing now is more interest in distilleries as well, which, you know, it's not food, but it's made from potatoes
in
most cases.
It's a food group, I think, yeah.
So Steve, have you changed? Has the office changed its marketing over the years to reflect the different kind of interest? I mean, I'm suspecting that 20 years ago there wouldn't be a marketing campaign around food. It would be different. Maybe fishing or whale watching or something like that.
Well, I think it's part of the overall, you know, tourism promotion of the state. We kind of look at the tourism promotion in four pillars. We look at it as food and beverage being one, outdoor recreation being a second, arts and heritage being a third, and then what we call the simple life, which is more of a lifestyle kind of approach to Maine. That's finding those off the beaten path places that we were talking a little bit about here. And, you know, really finding the place. You know, there are people here that are doing things in tourism industry that are really passionate about them in various corners of the state, and you can come across these very interesting little attractions throughout the area. And so the focus of our campaign is to look at all those areas and present Maine as a lifestyle opportunity for people.
Right. And there seem to be these really, and Brian, I'll throw this to you, really specific high interest events. You know, the one that just popped into mind, I'm drawing a blank on the name, is the Grain Festival. I think Kneading is in the name of
the
it.
The Kneading Festival.
Yeah. Skowhegan, is that right?
Yeah.
Skowhegan,
really,
yeah.
I mean, if you are into that world, that is the place to be.
Yeah. It's funny. We redesigned the magazine earlier this year, and we gave food and drink its own dedicated department, which we had not done in past. There's always been dining reviews and this kind of coverage here. But part of it was in recognition of the fact that the food and drink of a region are always integral to the region's character, whether it is the history of growing grains and milling it, whether it's diner culture when you think about classic Maine road trips. But it was also driven by not just the sort of nostalgic aspect, by recognition of exactly what you're talking about, that increasingly this is a place that has a reputation for churning out, if not necessarily fine food and drink in a white tablecloth sort of sense, although there's that too, innovative food and drink, and that is of its own. Maine beer is its own thing, you know, Maine seafood. I just was in New Orleans and I ate Gulf oysters, and I got to tell you, people, they're not as good as the ones that come out of the Damariscotta River. So we've seen that awareness, you know, be kind of burgeoning as well.
So, Derek, are you seeing trends or changes in what tourists are looking for when they walk in your office at AAA? Are people asking for things that are maybe a little different than they might have been 5 years ago?
You know, not necessarily. A lot of times we get people come in, and they're coming in for the same reasons. What we are seeing is a lot of new people that have never been to the state before, which is huge for us. You're getting a lot of people that are getting wind of the type of food and you know, attractions we have with the coastline and the lighthouses and the Lake Region area. And we're starting to see a lot more new people come to the state as tourists. As far as the destinations are concerned up here, most of them are fairly similar when it comes to the tourists coming up. But a lot of times, you know, they still resort to, you know, the lighthouses and the coastline. But as far as different, no, not really.
Okay, it sounds to me like you're pulling them aside and saying, after you see that lighthouse, turn left, right?
Yeah, and that's where we come into play. You know, we've been here. You have the local experts in the office, and we can give our recommendations as to where you go. You know, that's a great place, but I think you should check out this as well. So
all right.
Also a benefit to come into the office.
Steve, last year set a record, didn't it? Number of people coming to Maine.
We had about 37 million people come to Maine last year.
Say that again. We had how many people come to Maine last year?
Yeah, the estimate is about 37 million
people. That's astonishing. Yep. I mean, 1.2 million people live in the state. How many of that 37 million are coming in the summer?
Probably about 60% is summer and about 25% is fall, and then the remainder come in the winter months.
Okay. And yep. And where are they going? Are they, I mean, we know they're going to Acadia National Park, but where else? And are we seeing changes in where they're headed?
Well, I mean, what the most popular area for the state is what we call the Maine Beaches region, which is basically York County, because I think it's closest destination to a lot of the people that are driving up here, because we have a very drive-oriented market. We don't have a lot of people flying in for vacation in Maine. It's like 90% of the people that come here are driving here. So,
oh, that's interesting. Wow.
You know, so, what we're seeing is they get a lot of business down in the what we call the Maine Beaches region, which would be anywhere from York to Kennebunk to Old Orchard, that kind of area. We are seeing people spread around. I mean, as trends in the industry change a little bit, people are now looking towards, you know, finding that out-of-the-way place, finding that unusual brewery, you know, in Fort Kent or something that just opened up, finding some off-the-beaten-path place that they can tell their friends about on social media because, hey, we discovered this great little place here on social media. And that's something that, you know, social media has changed a lot of what we do because people are sharing so much now. It's an added benefit of third-party endorsement.
Right, right. So, Brian, give us, before we go to our first break, give us a couple more on the list on the scavenger hunt.
Oh, sure. One of the ones that I'm kind of excited about is that we're compelling people to participate in a codfish race. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't? Jennifer, it's great fun. A codfish race is a relay in which you must hold a slimy, greased-up, dead codfish and run back and forth with it with your team and then change in and out of, like, oil gear, like fishermen's duds. And there's one that takes place on 4th of July in Eastport. There's one that takes place in Millbridge. I'm pretty sure they invented it during Millbridge days in July. There's another one in Booth Bay. But so much of the shtick of this scavenger hunt. And this is good advice even if you're not trying to win a five-year subscription to Down East by spending your entire summer doing these crazy stunts. Is you can go to festivals like that. You can go to Millbridge and you can stand and watch. Or you can sign up and you can run with the fish. You can go to Ogunquit on Labor Day weekend. One of the scavenger hunt items is that you have to participate in the sandcastle building contest on the beach there, which is just like a great, you know, family thing. You don't have to have kids, but it helps, I think, if you do. So there's a lot of participatory sort of items like that.
All right. Well, we do have to take our first break. Afterwards, though, we'd love to hear from you. Where do you want, what secret spot of yours do you want to share? Are you willing to share with others? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Halcyon Music Festival, celebrating 5 years of chamber music concerts in Seacoast, New Hampshire, June 21st to June 30th, and Camden National Wealth Management, providing investment management to clients throughout Maine, New England, and beyond. CamdenNational.com.
U.S. and North Korean leaders met in Singapore. President Trump said he was optimistic.
They've been tremendously successful. And it's my honor, and we will have a terrific relationship, I have no doubt.
It's not clear what success means. We'll examine what both sides want and look back at other history-making presidential summits. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, weekday evenings from 4 to 6:30. The polls close here in Maine this evening at 8, and Maine Public Radio, television, and online will report on the primary returns as they come in. We'll follow the gubernatorial party primary races and the Democratic 2nd District primary, as well as statewide vote on ranked choice voting. On radio and television, we'll offer periodic updates in our regular programming while we keep track of what we know constantly at mainepublic.org. As always, for more complete results and analysis, join us here on Maine Public Radio tomorrow for Morning Edition, Here and Now, and All Things Considered.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, things to do during a Maine summer. Joining me, Brian Kevin, who is managing editor of Down East Magazine, travel agent with AAA, Derek Hanrahan, and Steve Lyons, who's director of the Maine Office of Tourism. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. On the line with us now, Lee Speronis. He is director of the School of Hospitality, Sport, and Tourism Management at Hudson University's College of Business. Thanks for calling in, Lee.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I understand you're right in the middle of a meeting right now with the Maine Hospitality and Tourism Alliance. What is the purpose of that group?
Well, we're working on, you know, we work much like Steve does and much like some of the other people you've had on today on attracting people here to our fabulous state. But, you know, not just to visit, actually, we want to work and maybe even stay here. So, you know, we've got a workforce issue right now, and we're trying to convince folks to come to our beautiful state and enjoy everything that we have and find out that they, since we supply about one out of every six jobs in the state, our industry, we could actually create even more so. We need even more help in there right now.
And you know, the challenges are just sheer numbers, 37 million visitors and not that many people to work. What are some of the solutions that people are looking at?
Well, it's multi-tiered. Obviously, there's many things we need to do. We're not going to solve this with any one solution. Obviously, education is one pathway. Some of the community colleges are helping. We have a pretty intense program here at Hudson. We have the visas coming in this year. We got them early when we needed them. There's still never enough there.
And you're talking about the H-2B visas H-2B that allow people visa. From other countries. That's right. Last year, we did not have enough or in time, right?
We didn't have them enough or in time. And our senators and our representatives on all sides of the issue got together on this one and really helped the state. It was not a political issue that much because they realized after last year that if we don't do a good job when they do come here to visit us, they might not come back. So it's really important that we're staffed properly.
All right. So while I have you on the line, what's your favorite place or event to head in the summer?
Oh, gosh. I'm a hiker and a kayaker by nature. So anything that gets me out on either ocean kayaking or hiking is my favorite thing. My favorite events, you just can't separate as you chatted about food, beer, and wine. I'm definitely my wife's a foodie. I'm a beerie, I guess you would say. And then the music. For all the three places that Waterfront has concerts in Bangor and the two in Portland, one of the people that you have in your studio was talking about the American Folk Festival. That is just an amazing event, drawing 100,000 people for basically a free event that's only given by donations. It's pretty remarkable.
All right, Lee. So if somebody from Southern Maine comes to Bangor for the Folk Festival or something else fun, they've never been there before, what do you recommend they do outside of the festival? See Paul Bunyan?
Oh, well, yeah, Paul's around. You can't miss Paul. He's definitely there. When you're here for the festival, you know, obviously there's plenty of accommodations. There's smaller music events going on at the same time. We got a great food scene here. We have a pretty good little downtown of beer festivals going on and beer events. It's a fun time.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, especially in the middle of a conference. That's Lee Speronis. He directs the Hospitality, Sport, and Tourism Management Program at Hudson University's College of Business. We'll go on to John now. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, this is John Hanson, and I'm calling to let everyone and invite everyone to come to the 16th annual Maine Boat and Home Show in Rockland, August 10, 11, and 12. It is a remarkable gathering of creative people from the coast doing what they do better than almost anyone else in the world. Build boats, art, furniture, food. I mean, it's an extraordinary 3 days in a great town on a great bay.
Well, John, thanks so much for calling in. We'll move to William on Facebook. He asks, of the 37 million visitors, what are the demographics? Mostly families, young millennials, are non-traditional people coming to Maine, people of color?
Geographics, mostly we're getting people from northeastern United States. We're looking at, when we do our marketing, we're marketing in eastern Canada. That's from about Ontario east. And then we look at New England and we look at the mid-Atlantic states down as far as Washington, D.C. and actually Charlotte, North Carolina. So the vast majority of people are coming from New England, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, that kind of thing. It's a mixture of families. It depends on the time of year a lot of the times. In the summertime, you're going to see more families typically. In the fall, you might see more couples, empty nester type folks, simply because they have the time and the kids have gone back to school. So it varies, and it depends on the season. It depends on, you know, the interest that they have.
All right. Elizabeth in Facebook says, could you please give a shout out to concerts at Norcross Point for things to do in Maine? They are free to the public, located on the shores of Marinacook Lake, and they're family-oriented, with accommodations such as public restrooms and paved walkways and handicapped accessible. So that's concerts at Norcross Point. And that was a Facebook post, so if you go onto our Facebook page, you can see that as well. Katie on Facebook says, the Kittery Block Party is happening this Saturday. You're nodding, Brian.
I just know that to be a really good time. I didn't realize it was already that time of year. That's crazy. I think this weekend I am at a festival in the Kennebunks, the Launch Festival. I mean, it's talking about launch. It's like this is the time that every weekend has some kind of festival from here on out. But the Kittery Block Party is a lot of fun, especially since Foresight is as cool as it is.
And Steve and Derek, do you guys know about places where, Derek, you said there's a list? You can pick up a brochure right at AAA?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of festivals and events and things like that. And is there anything online that you know about, Steve?
Well, of course, our website, visitmaine.com, has a full events listing for all events throughout the state. So you can get a pretty comprehensive list there. And I think there's something like Maine Public Broadcasting has something I've heard about, a calendar of some kind.
Community calendar, that's right. We'll go to David in Bucksport. Hi, David, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Well, I love being an evergreen member of Maine Public, and shout out to the Down East Magazine folks there. I was reason number 95 to love the National Park. I'm the Highland Piper that stands on the cliff.
Oh, how are you, man? I can see your portrait in my mind's eye. That was such a great shot.
That was a great shot. Brought me a lot of great fans of piping, but they come to hear me at my little bed and breakfast in Bucksport. I have Williams Pond Lodge, which is totally solar-powered, off-grid ecotourism in northern Bucksport. So a great place to stay for people coming to the region. And you can do the Bangor Folk Fest, American Folk Festival in Bangor, and then get out of that urban metropolitan center of Bangor and come down to the pond shore with me and have piping at night with loons and coyotes. And again, it's totally off-grid solar powered. So this is ecotourism in beautiful Down East Maine.
David, let me ask you this. How long have you had the lodge? And what kind of
11th season.
11th season. Have you seen changes in the kinds of people who are coming to Maine or the reasons they're coming to Maine?
Well, you know, I try to appeal to the niche market that I serve, so I advertise as totally solar-powered, off-grid, ecotourism, throw those words out there, and I get people from all over the world who are intentionally seeking green travel experiences, and, you know, they know they're coming to beautiful Maine, and they want to feel like they're really experiencing it out in the woods. My building is 38 feet from the shore of beautiful Williams Pond here in Bucksport, so, you know, it's just ideal for people that want that real Maine experience. And I love giving it to them. I do dessert every night, and I didn't know at the time that was going to be a great way to get my guests to get home at a decent hour. They sit out at the fire pit with great homemade desserts, and they meet the other guests. And by the next morning, they're having breakfast together with friends. You know, they've already, and they compare their notes for what they've done during the day, which day trips they've taken. So what I see is that more and more people are wanting that, you know, eco-travel experience that allows them to enjoy all of Maine and come home at night and stay in a place that's also giving them a very small carbon footprint.
Well, David, thanks for calling in. I invite you to post something on our Facebook page so folks who are listening but don't have a pen and paper with them can learn more about your lodge. And thank you for calling. It's interesting to me that he mentioned ecotourism. I as a reporter, I did a story quite a few years ago on ecotourism, and that was a word that really wasn't hadn't caught fire yet. And now I think many travelers expect and know what that means.
I don't always necessarily know what ecotourism means. Whether I feel like there's a great range between an inn that's off the grid that has sort of environmentally responsible policies versus like riding on a zip line through Costa Rica or something. It all seems to fall under this umbrella of ecotourism. But we see anecdotally, just fielding queries from readers and things, a lot of interest in sort of People use this term glamping, which I loathe because I don't really. It doesn't need to be glamorous necessarily, but it's an opportunity to be closer to the outdoors without necessarily having to pitch your own tent and deal with the puddles that form underneath it when it rains. And there are places that are popping up to serve that niche. I feel like we did a little roundup mentioning this place called Topsail Farm in Waldoboro that I toured last year, and they have these like A-frame tents that you can stay in. They're gorgeous. It's fairly affordable. $100 plus $200, maybe $200 a night in the peak season. There's a place in Seguin that's a treehouse concern. There's this new website that maybe you guys have heard of that is called Tentrr, TENTRR.com, and it's sort of positioning itself as the Airbnb of tenting. They set up these sort of stable wall tents on gorgeous properties and I think maintain them for the landowner, and then you book them with an Airbnb type of platform. And they've just recently expanded to Maine this summer. Never used it, can't necessarily recommend it, but I get the press releases, and I think they're feeding a desire for that.
Sure, feeding a trend. And you mentioned the AMC Lodges earlier, that AMC Lodges, the Maine Hudson Trails, maybe not glamping, but certainly a step, a couple steps above pitching your own tent and bringing your own food in.
Yeah, I mean, certainly something like Maine Hudson Trails, having been there once, we actually snowshoed in a couple winters ago. It's a great experience because you get, I like the self-propelled travel to get to these places, and we did it via snowshoe. But the nice thing about these lodges is you have a really comfortable place to stay. You have a comfortable place to eat. You get to meet lots of people who have similar interests and similar values, and so it's great.
Speaking of, Carol Ann from Maine Hudson Trails sent us an email. She writes, celebrating 10 years, wow, headquartered in Kingfield with 80 miles of trails and four backcountry eco lodges connecting Carabasset Valley to the Forks. There you go, Derek. Serving fresh, healthy, locally sourced meals as well as Maine beers. Hiking, paddling, and mountain biking, part of the Carabasset Valley Trail System with a great mix of single track and more moderate trails. One of the things I love about this is that these are, I think, appealing to a lot of us hit a place in our life where, for whatever reason, maybe ourselves or our partner or somebody who might be in our group isn't in a position to do real hardcore backcountry hiking and pitching a tent every night, but still enjoy being outdoors. So, really.
Well, you have kids, and just the notion of hauling everything on your back for 12 miles is not as appealing as it was a little earlier.
Pam writes, a Casco Bay cruise on the islands has to be on the list. You're nodding, Derek.
Oh, absolutely. Casco Bay Lines is phenomenal. They'll bring you all around and see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, there are a lot of great water opportunities just all up and down the coast and, well, inland as well. I suppose you're talking about paddling, rafting, we were talking about a little earlier. But, I mean, so many places you can go out for a puffin watch in down East Maine. You can do whale watching up and down the Maine coast. You know, you can do these scenic excursions all over the up and down the coast. And so there's just so many opportunities to get out on the water. Windjammer cruises are another perfect example.
I know, and I really think that so many of these are things those of us who live here keep thinking we'll do it someday. And maybe someday should be next week, right? So we do need to take a quick break. But first, a word about tomorrow's program. Our guest is going to be Patricia O'Toole. She's written a new biography of President Woodrow Wilson. It is called The Moralist. We'll also get an update on the election results. So if you're interested in commenting about Woodrow Wilson, email your comments or questions to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet us, or post to our Facebook page. If you'd like to join today's conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Douglas Ridge, a new conservation subdivision in Brunswick committed to solar-powered sustainable neighborhood living. More at douglasridge.com.
A long-time activist and organizer, Cecile Richards was at the helm of Planned Parenthood for more than a decade. She'll talk to Mina Kim about growing up in a political household and the future of reproductive rights. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
And you can join us for that City Arts and Lectures program following Maine Calling at 2 o'clock. If you've been away from Maine and are a classical music fan, you may be pleased to note that our Maine Public Classical over-the-air FM network has expanded We have stations in Portland, Bangor, and Waterville. Also in western Maine in the Bridgeton-Fryeburg area. Down east, including the Bar Harbor region, and our latest signal serves much of the coast from about Rockland to Freeport out of the Booth Bay, Brunswick region. 24/7 classical music. How to find Maine Public Classical is at mainepublic.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, ways to make the most of your summer in Maine. Joining me, Derek Hanrahan, a travel agent with AAA, Steve Lyons with the Maine Office of Tourism, and Brian Kevin from Down East Magazine. If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Laura on Facebook writes, "The arts, the arts, the arts. Maine has an extraordinary array of arts offerings all year long. Recommending the Bates Dance Festival, one of the best contemporary dance festivals in the country, July 5th to August 4th.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she is correct. I mean, the arts in Maine have grown quite immensely, actually, over the years. There is the Maine Art Museum Trail, which has 9 art museums throughout the state. You can go anywhere from the museum down in Ogunquit, the Ogunquit Museum of American Art, all the way up to the museums in UMaine and Colby, Bates, and Bowdoin's all have art museums. And, of course, on Monhegan Island, there's the island art gallery out there as well. Another one that's interesting that we did a feature on about a year or so ago in tourism information was the Georges River Land Trust and the Bernard Langley Sculpture Preserve. It's in Cushing, Maine, in the Mid-Coast. It's a 90-acre preserve in the Mid-Coast that has about a dozen or so of Bernard Langley's. I always have a difficult time pronouncing that, wooden sculptures that he produced throughout his lifetime. The most famous of his sculptures in Maine is probably the Skowhegan Indian. That's the one people know mostly. But he has a whole series of carvings that are on the sculpture preserve down in Cushing. We also have the Skudik Sculpture Symposium.
Right.
They had the Down East Sculpture Trail, where there are dozens of sculptures that have been carved over the years, and it's kind of talking about treasure hunts and scavenger hunts. That in and of itself could be a treasure scavenger hunt, looking for all the sculptures in the Down East area.
Yeah, and you could go on a scavenger hunt looking for planets in Aroostook County.
You could, yeah, you could.
We have an email from Jessica. My husband and I are trying to hit every national park and state park at some point all over Maine, starting a few years ago. It is a great goal. Also, on Great Pond in Belgrade Lakes, there's an island you can camp for free that's been donated to the state of Maine. And on the ocean in Casco Bay, we have Jewel Island. You can also camp for free. And there's a beach on the backside of Long Island that looks like you are in the Caribbean. So beautiful. Well, thank you, Jessica. Those are great tips.
You know, I have recently realized that I am maybe missing out on some of the best parts of living in Maine by not owning a boat. And it is a real sort of existential crisis for me because I can't afford a boat and I have no knowledge how to use a boat. But I've been turned on to the kind of wealth of properties that are managed by the Maine Coast Heritage Trust, as well as all these properties that are administered in some way by the Maine Island Trail Association. And she's right. I mean, there are a ton of places to camp for free or darn close if you have the watercraft and a little bit of know-how to get there. It's really impressive.
So you know what they say, the only thing better than your own boat is a friend with a boat.
It's a friend's boat, yeah.
So we'll go to Paul calling from Portland. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just putting out a plug for the nonprofit Friends of Fort Gorgeous. Fort Gorgeous is available now for tours through our group, and those proceeds go to saving the fort. I've heard you speak about arts and cultural programming. We're making those things happen at the fort as well. And if people don't have access to a boat, we'll provide the transportation. And if they want to do something a little more athletic, we suggest Portland Paddle over at East End Beach, which gives people an opportunity to get a little bit of exercise, get out, get some salt water in the face, and that's a safe way also to get over to Fort Gorgeous.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks. And I invite you to post something on Facebook as well. I appreciate you calling in. We'll move on to Mary calling from Hamden. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to also put a plug in for Greenville in the Moosehead Lake region. My husband has a float plane, does scenic flights out of downtown Greenville.
Oh, how fun.
It's an amazing experience. We get people from all over the world that come, and the flight takes you up around like a Todden region, and it's just amazing experience. People are like, oh, this is so on my bucket list, you know. And
Oh, and I also want to say there's a fabulous crepe shop. I'm sorry, there's a little cart there, and this woman does wonderful crepes. So if you love crepes, I know a lot of you are tough foodies, and she's amazing with her crepes. So come on to Moosehead. And obviously the Katahdin boat as well is a wonderful experience. But it's a really cool place up there, so... But nothing like seeing it from the air, right?
Right. Well, Mary, so that's terrific. Post information about your husband's scenic flights on our Facebook page. Now, the Crepe Shack, is that right in Greenville?
Yeah, right downtown. When you first come into town, if you take a left, she's right there on the right. You know, you're right. If you look to the right, you're looking at the boat. And so she's right in that area right there. And she'll make, you know, a sweet dessert kind of crepe, but she'll also do like a caramelized onion and spinach with goat cheese, and it's amazing. Yeah.
That sounds great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, another thing that they've done up in Greenville. I mean, Greenville is going through kind of this revitalization of their tourism program there. They've come to the realization that it's a really important part of their economy, and they're putting a lot of effort into it. But they've, you know, the Chamber recently did something. I think last year they might have introduced the Pinnacle Pursuits Program. And the Pinnacle Pursuits Program is you try to hike, I don't know how many mountains it is, several mountains, and you get, you know, various prizes if you hike all the mountains in the, you know, like Borstone Mountain in Kineo, mm-hmm. and all these different mountains that are up in that area, gives you an opportunity to hike all these great, beautiful mountains, and then maybe win a Pinnacle Pursuits hat after, you know, as your prize for climbing them all.
Okay, and if people don't know what Kineo is, what is that, Steve?
Well, Kineo is actually one of my personal favorite hikes in the state of Maine. It's a hike. You have to get out to it by water. There's a water taxi that will bring you out to the island, and once you're on the island, you can then take this hike to the summit. There's a fire tower at the top of the summit, and it's a fairly easy hike. It's actually pretty easy for families. It would be perfect for families, and once you get to the summit, you have 360-degree views of Moosehead Lake and the surrounding forests and mountains region in the area, and it's just a beautiful place to go for a great family hike and a unique experience, because Kineo itself on the east side of the island is a 700-foot cliff that drops sheer cliff that drops off into the Moosehead Lake. And so you'll find a lot of people down there in the summertime in their boats, you know, kind of swimming off of their boats and off the ledges there in the water.
Mary, thanks for calling. We have a tweet from Marfine. My family would often visit my gram in Aroostook, and once we took the Golden Road and camped a few spots along the route. Bring lots of bug spray, though. Done the Golden Road, Kevin?
Yeah, I have plenty. It's there's a lot of great places to camp. I do, Kevin. There are a lot of great places to camp just inside the gates that the Northwoods is managed by the Maine Northwoods Association, and you pay a nominal fee to get your vehicle in there, and then for you have your choice of camping. There's plenty of moose to see. There are waterfalls that are hidden back there. I mean, you do want some bug spray. The paddling opportunities are really terrific. I mean, you can't say enough good things about the Northwoods.
Right.
We'll go to Bob in Belfast. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to put in a good word for the Belfast Harbor Fest, August 17th to 19th. It's run by the Belfast Rotary Club, and all the net proceeds go to charity. And I think the two highlights that I wanted to give you were on Saturday, the 18th, we're going to be hosting the National Boat Building Challenge, where teams of two have to attempt to build a boat in 4 hours or less, then have it judged, and then run. Both team members then need to go out into Belfast Harbor in a relay race to see whether their beautiful boat is actually seaworthy. And that's the 18th. And then the 19th is the cardboard boat competition. Similar basic idea, except that people can bring their pre-made cardboard boats, and then we have races and crown champions, and rescue people whose cardboard boats sank.
I was going to say, life jackets required, yes.
Yeah, some of us are out there in kayaks to rescue those who need help.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll move on to Marilyn, who's calling from Waterville. Hi, Marilyn, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I don't think anybody's mentioned the Maine International Film Festival that's held at the Railroad Square Cinema here in Waterville, and it showcases 100 premier releases of American independent and international cinema. They have community workshops, and over the course of 10 days, the audiences have, they really come from all over New England, and they have an opportunity to connect with directors, producers, writers, actors, and musicians who come to Waterville from across the globe. So it's really exciting, and I go there every single year.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great that's a great event. I mean, you're seeing a number of film festivals starting to emerge in the state of Maine. Another one that's very popular is the Camden International Film Festival, which focuses primarily in documentaries. But you're getting some very well-known festivals and actually bringing in some various stars and bringing in a lot of very high-quality films.
The Maine Outdoor Film Festival, I think I'm getting the name right, tours the state, and I think in the later summer, and they have as wide of a tour schedule this year as they have in any year previous. They're going to like very likely be coming to a town near you if you check out the website.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. We have a whole bunch of shout-outs here. I'll go through them quickly. Sam on Facebook, Summer Exhibition Series at the Center for Maine Contemporary Art in Rockland. Children and members, get in free. Holly on Facebook, I'd like to give a shout-out to Maine Yoga Adventures. Maine Yoga Adventures gets people outside hiking, paddling, beach strolling, etc. Not just yoga, it sounds like. Terry, start a long weekend with the 21st edition library race in Kennebunk, Friday, July 13th. Route is Downtown Historic District. Event includes live music, raffle prizes, prizes for top finisher. So lots of road races. The biggest probably the Beach to Beacon, but plenty of others for people who like to run all different distances. Western Foothills Food Festival, August 11th in downtown Norway. Food, more food?
Food. And the Whoopie Pie Festival, of course, in Dover Foxcroft.
Oh, yes. They can't neglect whoopie pies, can we?
I have lost the whoopie pie eating contest in Dover Foxcroft in the summer before, and let me tell you, losing is better than winning.
How many did you eat, and how many did the winner
eat?
I
ate 2.5. I want to say the winner ate 6. I mean, and it's timed,
and
you know, so it's
how
inside
many,
of...
In a minute or something?
No, my God. No, I think they got 5 or something. Boy, it was it's something to watch. That might be one where I encourage watching over participating, contrary to my previous statement. It's a blast, though.
A tweet: we hope you'll join us for the first annual Little Sea Folk Festival right here in Portland, June 30th. It's at the Maine Irish Heritage Center. The focus on Celtic and Irish music and more. Joan on Facebook, July 4th in Camden, free concerts from noon to 9 in the Library Amphitheater in Harbor Park. See Camden Rotary's Facebook page. Also, the Camden Shakespeare Festival, July 25th to August 12th. 12th night in Othello this year's plays. Okay, we're going to squeak in one more call here. Robert in Gorham. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Among the many wonderful music venues in Maine in the summertime is the New England Music Camp on the shores of Messalonskee Lake in Sydney, Maine. Free concerts typically on Saturdays and Sundays. If the weather is nice, they're outdoors in front of or in one of the largest outdoor bowls in the country. Family run for over 80 years. It's definitely worth checking out in Sydney, Maine.
And I will, I'll agree with you there. Thank you, Robert, for calling in. And he's our last call. If you have ideas and you weren't able to call in or share during the program, just go to Facebook and add to the list. Everybody will be able to use that as a resource. Thank you all for being here. Steve Lyons, Director of the Maine Office of Tourism, Brian Kevin, Managing Editor of Down East Magazine, and Derek Hanrahan, a travel agent with AAA. John Keimel ran the board today. You can always find past editions of Maine Calling at mainecalling.org. Today's program will be broadcast again tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, a new biography of Woodrow Wilson. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.